Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the After Knowledge Beyond the Book Club. Tonight, we're featuring The Falsification of African Consciousness by Dr. Amos N. Wilson. It's a Eurocentric history, psychiatry, and the politics of white supremacy. Last week, we covered the introduction, and we featured the what the book would be about, and this week we're entering the first segment of the lecture. My wife, Jalavet, and we'll still say hello, Jalavet.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, doing pretty good. You ready for tonight's feature?
Yep, let's get with it.
All right. Well, the first part one, rather, is European Historiography and Oppression Exposed, an African Analysis and Perspective. After he opens, after Lerone Bennett Jr. in his book Black Power USA reviewed black political history and presented it so magnificently, I looked for the summary chapter which would tell us that what we had during Reconstruction was not real power. In fact, the name of the book is a misnomer. I was looking for him to say that the rights and freedom of a people are not protected by law only. That, to me, seemed to be the lesson that was taught there. Laws in and of themselves will not protect us. Laws are words written on papers. Laws protect no one. That opening is what we, you know, I would say is very powerful. And I think our community has still never grasped the idea that only you can protect in the physical realm. You have to take responsibility for the protection of yourself and your family and community.
Right.
Some other people, their statutes and their desire to enforce those statutes into your best interest is no security at all. Not at all unlike what people we look at a certain political candidate and think that political candidate is the protection, and we can sit around and do nothing. You have any thoughts here on that?
Yeah, I guess I do. I think essentially what he is saying is that the laws that are written as your protection are written by your stated and sworn enemy. So it is almost laughable when you look to these people to protect you from them. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to write a law that says this word on the paper is going to protect me from you from me.
Right, right. You're trusting me, the flagrant, the one who has offended. I am the offender. And you come to me and you petition me to, sanction and penalize myself for the horrific things that I have done to you. And I just find that so, it's laughable. It's laughable. What we expect,
Right. Plantation thinking,
Right.
Old master's in charge of protecting everybody and making up rules. All we do is do our work. And we don't worry ourselves at all, no matter.
The big old brain.
Big old brain.
Right.
We got to grow our brains up to do the work, that we are supposed to be doing, taking care of our own.
Right.
But he goes on here on page 7. He says, laws are stronger than those who enforce them. I'm sorry, he said laws are no stronger than those who enforce them.
Right.
President Russell B. Hayes taught us that lesson quite clearly. The day that the federal government decided not to enforce the Reconstruction laws, the so-called freedom of black people came to an end. Laws were on the books, but who cared? The Supreme Court reneged on in the 1870s, and we were almost back where we started.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme Court can and does change its mind. It can rule one way at one point and reverse its ruling at another. Where does that leave us? We see it happen to us all the time. Ultimately, it means that we can only protect our rights and interests as people, not through laws written by other people and laws enforced by other people, but through the power to prevent other people from having their way with us. The emphasis then should be on the development of true power, military, economic, and otherwise. That is our ultimate salvation. If it arises at some point in the future that whites have to make a decision between feeding their children and feeding ours, irrespective of what kind of laws are on the books, they are going to feed their children and starve ours.
Correct.
We can apply to the Supreme Court and anywhere else we choose. Nevertheless, the situation will be exactly the way they wish it to be. Therefore, relying on laws, new Reconstruction laws, and promises almost exclusively are a very poor sort of salvation and assurance for our survival as a people. There is no way around it. We have to attain true and real power. This should be our goal. Allow me to indulge in a brief review of the first Reconstruction, 1867 through 1877. That's in that segment. Now, this is a lecture he's giving, and he's trying to articulate to the people that we got to give up this notion that we can, we cannot trust the future of our children, their health, their wealth, their social and mental and spiritual well-being. We can't trust that some other people who, especially the people who has been victimized, let alone any other people, with that kind of responsibility.
Correct.
And that responsibility lies squarely with us. We can't stand before our creators at the end of the age or era and say, well, you know, that wasn't my job to handle that. That was Master's duty. He was in charge of that thing. No, that was your duty that we shirked.
Right.
Plain and simple. Black folks culturally shirk their responsibilities to the community.
Right.
What we do is we take on other responsibilities. We take on responsibilities given to us by our slave masters, which is to maintain white supremacy.
Right.
And we function as overseers and, I'm sorry, underseers.
Underseers, right.
Underseers and various other sorts of, insignificant and petty offices to maintain their dominion.
I think that there is also a healthy dose of fear with regard to our responsibility to ourselves and to our community because, clearly we were dissuaded when it, comes to expressing ourselves as men and women in our communities. However, in addition to that, I think we've come to a place now through both conditioning and environment that I don't think that we are very seriously interested in taking on those responsibilities. I think we feel incapable. I think that the idea of doing basic community work in each of our facets as a male and as a female, I think that we feel so inadequate. And in addition to that, I think the fear, coupled with the fear of our own failure, we see what it is that we have now, the status quo, is just so much more comfortable. And I don't know really what could rouse us from this comfortable place.
Right. I don't. I think the only thing that can rise us from it is it's a destruction.
Right.
That's the only thing. They would have to be put in a place where Master was no longer able to provide for them.
Right.
That's it.
You think so?
That's what I. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Pretty sure about that. Brother Mean is on the line. Welcome, Brother Mean.
How you doing?
What's up? anyone listening on the browser, people in the chat room, if you're interested in being a part of the conversation, the phone number to call in this evening is 323-580-5707.
Yeah. Yeah. With Massa not being able to show his power and wisdom in ruling over us, then that'll be the only thing they have to do because they can't go and find one and let one and make them king. And they just have to not be available to use.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And we have to be in a position where we can't rely on our training living in society. It has to be utterly useless, obsolete. The way of thinking that we have been conditioned to function. We have to be completely useless.
Right.
That's the situation I think we will find ourselves at the dawn. Well, we are at the dawn of this the age. The new age is here. We're in it. We've been in it since 1981.
Right.
But we're starting to really, really feel it now. At least perceive, be aware of it. We see a lot of the transitions taking place. And that's how I see this whole thing coming down. The powers, the true powers that be will dismantle it. And those who are ready to assume the assume power will do so, will move in and carry out the judgments. And put white supremacy will be tread underfoot forever. Never to return again.
Mm-hmm.
So, And the next subsection here in the same lecture is the progression and regression in Reconstruction history. Well, here what he's going to do is talk about basically how during, between 1867 and 1877, the 10-year period known as Reconstruction of the South, he's going to talk about how we appeared to progress and we went within 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
No, just like we have people had with the election of Barack Hussein Obama presidency in 2008, and they felt so optimistic and then dashed into ashes. Matter, we had a better heyday between 1867 and 1877 than we have now.
Mm-hmm.
At least they had 10 years.
We had a good run.
You say?
So we had a good run back then.
Yeah, we had a good run, yeah. Yeah, this is nothing.
Right.
But all we had was pipe dreams. But here we go. As many of us in Black studies who are reconstructing history think that we are entering a new era in American history. We may think that the things we are witnessing today, that is, the election of Blacks to political office, appointments to various positions, their accomplishments in various corporations, and so forth, something new in American history. The study of Reconstruction history should quickly convince us that we are currently undergoing deja vu. Many of us view history as a continuing progression upward and onward. We have bought the American concept of progress, feel that things must, over time, necessarily get better. There is no law in the universe that tells us our future survival is assured, that we will continue to exist now and into the future. There have been races and ethnic groups who have been virtually wiped out on this planet. There is no guarantee that our own group will not be wiped out as well. The idea that we must necessarily arrive at a greater point than that reached by our ancestors could possibly be an illusion. The idea that somehow, according to some great universal principle, we are going to be in a better condition than our ancestors is an illusion, which often results from not studying history and recognizing that progressions and regressions occur, that integrations and disintegrations occur in history. So there you have it. No one can cite a law or any kind of dictum that says, or from any philosopher, sage of any kind, that, oh, things are surely will, you know, your situation will improve over time. Just give life a chance. Doesn't exist. Nobody's ever been foolish enough to be hailed a sage and say that at the same time. However, we live in a society where that is the prevailing philosophy in the Black community. How sagacious we are as a people. So,
mm-hmm.
Right, in a bad way.
Well, we just saw that in the last few years. We've supposed to become so civilized and so sophisticated that we've moved past certain things like torture. And then you look at this country. Well, at the end, we have to torture people to ensure our security. But we know what that means when they are our security. Is really in the name of white supremacy. Now you can legalize torture, something that we thought we were past already.
Right.
And now you just move back. It just changes. It doesn't. Whatever ensures their security is what they keep doing.
Right.
Whether it's a law or not, those laws can be changed on a whim.
That's right. And the torture is a social, a mental cruelty. Basically, they're saying they want to exercise cruelty to maintain the order, which is their society was established on torture and cruelty.
And cruelty. Mm-hmm.
Well, torture is cruelty. I mean, I shouldn't dichotomize it. Torture is cruel. They do. That's what they are. Cruel people. And they can't give it up. We got to recognize that the European cannot give up cruelty. He cannot give up racism, genocide, and apartheid. That's how he built his structure, and that's how it will be maintained.
We have a caller.
All right.
On 504.
All right.
Code, you are live.
Okay, I'd like to say good evening. Calling from New Orleans, Louisiana.
All right.
And I was going through the programs, and I saw Amos Wilson's book cover there. And I said I have to get right into the conversation there. But I read the book once through, and hopefully before the summer's out, I'll be able to get through that one again. I'm still trying to make it through Blueprint for Black Power. But, you know, we see the falsification of our consciousness daily, particularly when our people who are in awe of a president with a pigmentation like theirs advocate that there should be no agenda for themselves, or that that person should not speak to their interests some sort of way. And I find that amazing, you know, that a group could be convinced that their interests should be kind of put on the back burner in defense of the image of a person that looks like them that's in the White House.
Right, right, because those same people who say, well, he can't do that right now, those people have no interest in improving the condition of black people. They only their only interest is to improve the black bourgeoisie's access to political positions of influence,
mm-hmm.
not real power, influence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's how they want to be able to stock the judiciary and the legislative and the executive branch with more of their card-carrying family member bloodline types with opportunities to just basically show them out. So, see, we can get in here, and we're not going to help the rest of these Negroes. We've shown this, give more of us opportunities. And that's all they want. And they want you to help them.
Let me ask you on the issue of the part you were reading, that Amos Wilson was talking about Reconstruction,
right?
And how we were—it appeared we were back to where we started. How do you guys see the current? Because we have not created our own, interlocking enterprises to employ ourselves. What do you guys see on the employment level? Now, for example, I see on the level of education, black teachers are being pushed out completely. I'm in New Orleans here, and there's a myriad of charter schools. I think New Orleans is the city whose public school system has become mostly charter. And so the black teachers, by the way, when Katrina hit, the teachers were fired. All 3,000 teachers were fired immediately after Katrina. And so there's been a series of young white Teach for America coming in teaching our children. But I see it's the same thing in Chicago, Detroit, and these places. So my question is, we can see the employment situation with us would be pushing us almost at a begging level now.
I don't know much about the teaching situation there. I think we have a member of our book club. Nana, she knows a lot about that. I don't know if she's on the line. She can probably come in and answer that particular part of your question.
Just the general state of employment of black people, and how will that? Because, you know, we haven't developed this consciousness to understand that we are on our own. And there's nobody's going to assist us. When we look at the dwindling of the public sector, I guess I should say, then how do you all see that impacting condition negatively than where we are now?
I was going to get to that part. But, yeah, generally, that means we're going to have to recognize that we're going to go back to where we were in the 60s and 70s when we ran our own business and we pretty much, you know, kept to ourselves. And we've gotten hooked on the opiate of integration.
Mm-hmm.
Integration has been a new drug, social drug. Black folks have become addicted. We don't want to work apart from them. We don't want to have our own and cater and patronize our own, you know, businesses that feed our own families and produce for our own. We don't want that anymore. Now we're strung out. You know what I'm saying? We're strung out on white supremacy on a whole nother level than we were before. Because back before, we knew that we was just trapped and we were captured. Now, we think that we they friend, and we think it's all good because they got me up in this job. They telling me it's all gravy. All I got to do is just do this and that, and I have nothing to worry about. And now they posting us out little by little. Now it's getting to a point, like you said, we all out on our own again, and we don't know how to relate to each other anymore.
Right.
We've been taught that even losing that job is normal. It works that way. You know, we've been taught to even believe that.
Yeah. That's it. All right. Thanks for calling.
I'm enjoying the program. Believe it or not, with all the television and radio, there's really nothing on but this.
Well, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Okay.
You're on here every week, same time virtually. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/8AK Beyond the Book. And you can get updates. You can just follow this program here, and you can get email updates whenever we're going to be on.
All right.
Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm. All right, you want to take a break?
Yeah, sure. It would be great. Good idea.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back in a few moments.
Listen in to African Conversations on the African Knowledge Network, where we will converse with researchers about matters significant to the African diaspora community. Join us on Facebook on the African Conversations community page. Enjoy the dialogue on African Conversations on blogtalkradio.com. Listen to Love in Black with Charles and Jolivet on the Tribal Family Station on blogtalkradio.com.
There we will share our experiences and our insights on marriage, and love, sex, respect, and honor. We're on every Thursday evening on the Tribal Family Station.
AfricanImpressions.com is a black-owned business that offers products made by the global African community. AfricanImpressions.com offers the finest in African-made clothing, fabrics, jewelry, and much more. As the renaissance of the African community rapidly approaches, you need to add acquiring products crafted by members of the global African family to your repertoire of activities. We must rediscover more of our ancient cultural habits, which we struggle to regain and incorporate into our lives. Support African craftsmen and women by purchasing products created by members of the global African family at AfricanImpressions.com.
Join us for the sweetest show on internet radio, Honey Soul Radio, every Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, and 10 p.m. Eastern. Join your hostess, the Honey Diva, and Miss Lady P. every Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Central, and 10 p.m. Eastern. Honey Soul Radio on blogtalkradio.com. Now add a little honey to your flavor.
African Knowledge Beyond the Book appears every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are a literary society dedicated to the study of African-based psychoanalytical texts. We hope you will join us as we delve into the inner working of our African consciousness. African Knowledge Beyond the Book, every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com.
Black in public, black out loud, and black on purpose. For some, it's where your deprogramming begins, and it's where others on the path come for fellowship. Come on in and kick your shoes off. Visit us at www.facebook.com/blackinpublic. Put your fist in the air, y'all, because we're going to keep it black.
I'm Eric Teamer, host of Common Sense Conversations. Join me every Tuesday and Friday when I put common sense where it ain't so common. That's Common Sense Conversations every Tuesday and Friday, 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Central, 3:30 Pacific. Common Sense Conversations on blogtalkradio.com.
According to Henry David Thoreau, a man is rich in proportion to the number of things that he can afford to let alone. With that in mind, we find our people locked in a permanent cycle of poverty, especially those who mistakenly believe that they somehow have arrived, only a paycheck from foreclosure. Although we find black incomes at an all-time high, we still lack wealth, and we also lack the understanding of the purpose of wealth, which is safety, growth, and security. But it's not hard to turn this around. It will first require us to take a look at the bigger picture, and also it will require us to stop flossing. We have to understand that that $10 that we waste every day equals $300 a month. The same $300 that you find yourself missing every month. The same $300 required for you to invest into your family, into your community, and into your nation. Please join us on Facebook, African Money.
The Woman's Song Community Experience is an extension of the Woman's Song Facebook community. Woman's Song was created with the mission to promote sisterhood and solidarity amongst women of color the world over. The Community Experience radio broadcast is an outreach effort to bring lecturers, authors, healers, spiritualists, and others with the necessary information to assist us in our campaign to repair ourselves. Our community is in dire need of reformation. During this Renaissance period of awareness, we will honor the womb man, and we seek to bridge the gap of understanding, love, and the upliftment of our sisters in crisis. Will you join us? We need your help in bringing this new awakening to all who desire its enlightenment. Become a part of our commitment to elevation as we work together to lift the divine earth to their rightful places. Woman Song. She's singing.
We're back. Day break. And we left off seeing progression and regression in Reconstruction history. You got your, everybody got your books together. You're on page 8. Okay. History is not a fairy tale wherein certain things are accomplished and people live happily ever after. Many of us think the accomplishments we have made up to this point mean that we are only going to expand them in the future. We had better think about that again. I will point out today why we must not be so optimistic as to be foolish. He says, let us get back for a moment to an article written by In Ebony Magazine, October 1981, wherein Lerone Bennett wrote his conclusion to his book, Black Power USA. When I finished reading that book, I felt that the last chapter was missing. It went on to laud Black Power during the Reconstruction era and so forth, and yet somehow its logical conclusions were not arrived. The lessons that the book brought to mind were not expressed openly and completely. Consequently, I think some people would have been left with the wrong impression. But lo and behold, he did write the final chapter, not within the book itself, but in Ebony Magazine under a front cover heading, The Second Reconstruction. Is History Repeating Itself? He titled the article, The Second Time Around, Will History Repeat Itself, and Rob Blacks of the Gains of the 1960s. So he's dealing with this same issue again. We gained it, that is freedom, once, and we lost it. Is there any law in the universe that says that we will not lose it again? He introduced the topic. It was long at last, over and done with. How could anyone doubt it? How could anyone fail to see that the race problem had been solved forever? One man had no doubt said, all distinctions founded upon race or color have been forever abolished in the United States. Another who saw things his way said the category of race has been abolished by law and that there were no more colored people in this country. Thus spoke the dreamers and the prophets and victims in the first Reconstruction of the 1860s and the 1870s. I don't think I have to elaborate on this kind of attitude. We run into too many youngsters today who say, oh, that wasn't slavery time. Oh, those were the things we talked about, you know, in the 60s and the 70s. We're in the new day now. We're not a new day, ladies and gentlemen. The same words that we're saying today were the same words that people were saying over 100 years ago. So why are we in a new day saying the same thing that someone said 100 years ago? Bennett goes on to say, and it is worth emphasizing here that in the very beginning that these flights into fantasy were based upon the same hard facts that gripped the imagination of blacks in the second Reconstruction of the 1960s and 1970s. There was, for example, a black man in the U.S. Senate in the 1870s, and there was a former a black governor, in Louisiana. In the 1860s and the 1870s, there was in the 1960s and the 1970s. There were black sheriffs and black mayors in the South, and there was open speculation about a black vice presidential candidate. There was, moreover, a network of civil rights laws that seemed to settle the issue beyond all possibility of dispute or recall. There are so many of us who believe that fair housing laws, anti-discrimination laws, civil rights laws, voting laws, and so forth guarantee our freedom. This is an illusion. What a flight into fantasy. So, we can go back and say, you know, we have not learned our lesson that we had complete control over legislation, and we had, you know, executive black in, who is an executive authority, black governors and whatnot. And look where we are now. We've been through worse, I would say maybe equally bad horrors over the last 150 years, and we still see no resolution. With regard to trying to work with the system of white supremacy and have it function to our benefit to some level. And it's obvious that that is an impossibility, and that particular dream needs to be abandoned. Anybody have anything to say about that?
Yeah, I do. I like it when you ask somebody if they have something to say, and they say no, and then they say something. And I was about to do that because I thought that was funny, but it is inappropriate at this time when you're being serious. So anyway, yes, I wanted to say that I'm not trying to make – I don't want to appear as though I'm making excuses for our behavior. However, I think that when you're considering – our current condition, I can't help but factor in that a lot of these things, while they seem so simple, the work, the footwork to accomplish these things seems so simple, but the conception of it, it just seems out of grasp. Just out of reach for us. I was talking the other day about the concept of lack and want and poverty, and how in all of the earth there can be no such thing, in theory, if whatever it is that you desire and need for yourself, for life, and to exist and coexist, it's available. It is, you know, always available. The earth sustains us. And so to say that there is lack, what am I lacking? I'm lacking what I've been told that I should have. And I'm lacking what otherwise is free and available. When we're talking about basic sustenance, the water that comes freely from the sky, you know, if they could charge us for air, they probably would, you know. And trying to learn these lessons that Dr. Amos is trying to teach us, I think that a lot of it is very conceptual. And we are in the midst of the storm. You know, there's a saying that, some things are best learned, how does it go? Some things you learn best in the calm, others in the storm. And I think that, I'm not sure, but I think right now we are in somewhat of a calm just before the storm. And I think what you were saying earlier, you alluded to, is that once we have no other choice, once we're in the storm, we're going to get it together and we're just going to, you know what to do, or it's just going to make sense. And I guess in theory that is comforting somewhat, but I lack the faith in that, I guess.
Well, I mean, it is the only way it can be done, because we're multi-generationally conditioned to function, you know, the way we have. And while some of us, including myself, can sit here and we read sociology and psychology books and we can point up and down, but we still have been damaged ourselves, because we have difficulty functioning as ourselves as we should and functioning with each other because of the same program.
Right.
And so we have these sabotage programs in our brain, in our thought processes, to prevent us from doing things that we should do in a manner that is best suitable to be to accomplish their objectives, you know.
That's correct.
So, you know, by continuing to study reading these books to help look at the problems. And on, I mean, this is in like a worldly level to just look at the mechanics of how socially disorganized or disoriented, rather. Not, we were highly organized, but just disoriented in the wrong direction.
That is correct.
We are. And look at that orientation for what it is. Where is this direction, orientation taking us?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody, it seems to, nobody political, none of these people who people waste their time voting for will answer that question. Oh, it's going to lead to a brighter day. Well, okay, what do you call bright? And what kind of day are you talking about? You know, and they'll promise you the world and offer you hell and give you hell, rather.
Right, right. And it is true that we are extremely organized and working toward you know, our further victimization and the support of racism and white supremacy. However, just even saying that, I think to some people is just as theoretical as what I was speaking about before. They don't believe that. They don't believe that. We're just saying that. They don't believe that. They don't see that.
Right, they don't see it because they're caught up in this fantasy. That's the closing line I just read before we began our commentary, is that we are enthralled, we are enraptured into this American dream. We think that only European colonizers are the only ones illusioned by the American dream. No, so too is the African captive.
Mm-hmm.
Is caught in the delusion as well. And we have to acknowledge that. That's the first step to disillusionment, is the acknowledgement that you are illusion.
That's correct.
Realize that you are not in your right mind. Acknowledging that you are crazy. You know, it was all that crazy.
You saw, is that personal? Are you saying it?
Yeah, a little personal, yeah. I'm talking about it because I've done it. I just want to admit that, yes, I am mad. I must be mad. I'm not running for the coast. I'm not on a boat rowing my way out of here. I have no plan to relocate and start my life over on an island. Actually, I do. But
you're tickling the hell at yourself.
That is funny.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know. But I'm just joking. Of course I don't.
Of course you don't. Like something's about to hit a fan. Like
I have no idea about that sort of thing. And please, you cannot say that I do.
Like the fan is ready for that which is about to hit it.
Yes.
Is that just, you know what I'm saying? And flingage is imminent.
Right.
Right. It's like that.
Hey, but the point, yeah. I still have no plan. So, nevertheless, or no means, but whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. But if you say...
But you know, I always say that black folks, we have a difficulty seeing things to a logical end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the train is coming, barreling down the track at 100 miles an hour, and we're just walking across, and we're supposed to be all right. If you get killed, it's part of a long, ongoing struggle. You know, politicians have this thing where they say... where whenever there's some issues with black people, they always use the same line that America's like a big experiment and we're always getting better. And we really believe that nonsense, that if we wait long enough, it's going to get better. It has to get better all the time because it always works. This place that's probably younger than any country, than most of the countries in the world, We think that it progresses and keeps going on stronger at all times, when there's no real record of that, you know, at 200 and something years, you know, that it just doesn't keep getting stronger, you know. There's been places that rose and fell, you know, and took longer than this place. We're on the fast track here, rising and falling.
We,
you know,
right. We also got to remember that this is a colony where we live.
Mm-hmm.
The United States is not an ancestral nation, like, you know, that has been occupied. This is not like Egypt. Egypt is under occupation. You know, everybody should know that. You know, Libya is occupied. Israel is occupied. These old nations are all occupied. Those are ancient nations, but they are not run by the Saudi Arabia. They're not run by the ancestral, original inhabitants. America, United States of America, is a colony. It still is. This is some people who are covetous nations set their eyes on the resources of the indigenous people of this land, this area, and they sought out, they planned for hundreds of years on how they were going to overthrow these people and take everything they had. They were going to steal the future and of everybody, you know, because they had to bring, you know, people from Africa here. They were planning to steal the rock. These people are the most avarice, bloodthirsty, covetous people the world has never seen. We have never seen an appetite for power and wealth before or since, in my opinion. And it can only collapse. The reason why it can only collapse? Because there's nothing else to stop it. I mean, usually most nations, they'll be overthrown by another, and they're like we talked about. I just mentioned a roll call of nations that have been overtaken, and they're being operated by foreigners. Well, who's going to overtake the white supremacist League of Nations? Because all these nations, look at, you know, these European colonies all over North and South Central America, in concert, neither one of these countries are going to take over each other, and they are unified. They're maintaining a position. They have a gang called the United Nations. That's them. They run it. They let people of color, indigenous people or whatever, sit there and pretend like they are part of something. But they ain't got nothing to say. They ain't going to say nothing. So who's going to overtake them? They can't run it forever. Every nation got to fall. Every nation got to rise. Every nation got to fall. So that's a question to answer. I'm not going to answer today. I have answered it before.
Every week. Every single week.
Every single week.
Can I go through this?
Do you? That's why you can't take me nowhere.
So damn angry.
Forget you niggas mics.
Never gave you niggas internet.
Internet. You see what we do? We put on programming like this.
That's what you do. Can't take y'all nowhere.
So can't take us nowhere, because I'm telling right now, they got to go down. That's why they act like they act, because they know no human League of Nations is in a position to dismantle them. They are too strong. They got their act together. They did do a very well organized thing. They got this locked up. They got to seize the land, the sky. Now they're telling folks they own the sky too. And now they're talking about they finna colonize planets.
I mean, well, what else are they supposed to do?
Yeah.
With their big old brain.
Big old brain. They ain't even much gonna have the decency to leave us to Earth, and they take their head behind the outer space. I thought that would be a great idea for them to get lost and don't blow up on a ship or something.
Well, we're not sure what those Martians are doing, and they may have weapons of mass destruction.
They have weapons of mass destruction. They have to go out there and do what they got to do now.
Martians need some weapons of mass destruction. I hope they got them.
Well, first of all, we have to take them some democracy because they don't know any better, you see.
Right, they don't know it, but they need some people from here, some Federation of Earth people telling them that they come in peace.
Right.
And that they're not willing to come there and rape their Martian wives and children.
God.
Oh, we know the white man will not do that again because he's trying to do better.
And did you just say again?
Yes.
You know, imagine a Martian with a weave on. You think they'll be doing the same thing? Real Housewives of Mars.
Putting on some fade cream to change that green scaly look to
kind of no bleach skin, bleaching cream. They'll be doing all of that. how many hundreds of years would that take? You know.
Yeah, that was wrong on so many levels. Thank y'all for putting that in my head.
We do what we can. But you know that's something we got in that book that Black Power USA. You can find it really low cost on anywhere on the internet, and your local library may have it. I've made plans to try to read that book by Lerone Bennett. He's a great author. I don't know if any of you ever read any of his work. I'm sure some of you have. His most popular title is Before the Mayflower, which I've read that one. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Before us. And this one here that Black Power USA was the inspiration for Africa, for Falsification of African Consciousness. So, anybody interested in, if you know, really want to, you know, feel Dr. Wilson on another level, you should read Black Power USA. And I would recommend W.B. Du Bois' Reconstruction. He wrote a book, I forgot the title of it, about Reconstruction 1870 to 1881, I believe, subtitle of it. I'm sure Nana knows the title of it. She probably has it. But that's the one. Read everything you can about the Reconstruction to understand how we aren't catching on, because we've forgotten our own history. We've forgotten our own struggle in to gain some political power under white supremacy. And we have to realize that we have to let go of white supremacy and even maybe if you pretend that you're not letting it go, but really letting it go. You know what I'm saying? Have to do that. That's necessary. How much time do we have left on this broadcast?
None.
None. Good. That's ready. We're ready to sign on off. We'll pick up next week. And this, we're in the same lecture. We'll open up with the on page 13, and we'll Dr. Wilson ask and answer the question, why study history? Okay, we look forward to meeting you all again next week, same channel.
All right, peace.
Hey, come here, Glenn. Come here, Glenn. I want just Glenn to sing this song right here. Everybody else be cool. Y'all put your hands together. Mothership. I can feel the presence of the mothership. I can feel the mothership is somewhere around. Feels like the mothership is getting ready to come down. Swing down. I wanna ride. Swing down. I wanna ride.